الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. So my dear respected brothers, elders and sisters in Islam, today we read the Surah Nisa. This is a Madani Surah, and what Madani Surah means is that it was revealed after Hijrat, and Makki means that it was revealed before Hijrat. So this is a Madani Surah, 176 verses in it. And it was called Suratul Nisa. And the reason why it's called Suratul Nisa is because it has the ahkam of women in there. Nisa meaning women. So it has a lot of ahkam that came in for women. And it's called Suratul Nisa Kubra. The reason why it's called Kubra meaning big or lengthy. The reason being because there's another surah in the 28th juz, Surah Talaq. It's also referred to as Suratul Nisa, but Suratul Nisa Qusra, meaning a shorter version of the Suratul Nisa. So this surah, as I said before, it covers the rights and it talks about a lot of things about women in there. And a few of the things that were covered in this surah were one thing was that it covers the wealth of orphans. And before Islam came, orphans were abused a lot, and when the awliya or the walis of the orphans, the caretakers that took over the orphans, they would take advantage of that. And mostly they would take advantage of orphan girls. They wouldn't let them get married, and they would take their wealth, and they would just keep the wealth for themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the right in this surah and says, do not take their wealth, and this applies to boy orphans as well. And one of the second things that was talked about in this surah was the permissibility of getting married to four women. And before Islam came, then women, the people, the Arabs, they used to marry as many women as they wanted to. They could marry 10, 20, 30 women, 40 women. And Islam came and Islam gave you a restriction that you can only marry up to four. And what they used to do was that whatever they wanted to do, they would give their some rights to some women, and if they didn't want to even meet some of the other women that they married, they wouldn't even do that. So they were basically living like they were orphans, like they were widows. So Islam came and said, you have to, if you want to marry as much as you can marry only four. And if you marry four, then you have to give them all their huquq. You cannot take their rights. And if you can't do justice to all four equally, then you can only marry one. So this is a few things that was spoken about in this surah. And then also talked about one more main topic was inheritance for women. And before Islam, they didn't used to give inheritance to women. They used to see women as very low. So they used to keep everything for women. And for example, women, they didn't respect women before Islam came. And even when an individual would marry a woman, then let's say she had her menstrual cycle, then they would isolate her. They would put her separate, away from them. They wouldn't talk to them. They wouldn't eat them. They wouldn't eat with them. They wouldn't do anything with them. They wouldn't socialize with them. And they would just isolate them when they were in their menstrual cycle. Then Islam came. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that this is not how you treat women. And in a hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his head was on my lap and he would recite the Quran while I was in my menstrual cycle. So it shows us that this is not how we treat women. And then one ayah that I just want to cover real quick, it came in later on in the surah, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wherever you are, death will meet you. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because sometimes we don't pay attention to this. And there's in life, there's things that are uncertain. Everything that is in life is uncertain, except for one thing, and that is maut, that is death. Everyone is going to meet death, and nobody can run from it. But unfortunately, we work towards those things that are uncertain. If I have children, I have my children, I'm going to make them go to school, I'm going to make them go to college, I'm going to make them get a good education, make them a doctor, engineer, whatever I want to make them. And then I'm going to tell them, get married to a good person, and get a good house, and a big house, and cars. These are things that I can plan, but these are all uncertain. They're dhanni, they're not yaqini things, they're not certain things. But the thing that is for certain, which is death and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after death, we don't work towards that. We work towards these things, and we put our mihnat towards these things. But then we don't put anything, little to nothing, towards working to the akhirah. So, and then we always hear that, hey, there's somebody that died, an 80-year-old, 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old. But when we hear the older person died, we say, oh, they died because of old age. And then when we see somebody that passed away that is younger, 20, 30, 40, we say, oh, what happened? We try to inquire what happened to them. So like one time I went to a janazah, and I asked one of the uncles that was there, and I said, hey, what happened? How come this gentleman passed away? He was a young kid. And he said that, I don't know, and I never ask. I just come to pray the janazah of my brother. Because the reason is because these are all excuses. That a person, if he dies, because he got in an accident, or he died because whatever reason. These are all excuses. One thing we need to understand is that life, one knowledge that has never been given to anybody, and not even to prophets, is when they're going to die. And so when someone lives, whether it be till 20, 30, 40, they're living 100% of their life that was allotted to them. And this is what we fail to understand. We think we're going to live for longer, but we're assuming that. But a Muslim, this is the difference between a Muslim, that he stays ready. And we should have this sense of urgency that we should rectify ourselves before we die, because we can die at any moment. And one thing is that the way that you lived is the way that you will die. The way that you live is the way that you will die. If you're a good and you're a pious person, then you'll die, inshallah, as a pious person. And if you lived as an evil and a wretched person, then you'll die as a wretched person. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. And we can take examples of that. Rabi ibn Hirash was a great muhaddith. And we study him when we study in the books, we narrate their hadith. Now he was such a muhaddith that he stayed away from all the negative things. And he just studied the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would teach the hadith. And he was heard saying that, I'm not gonna smile in my life until I see my place in Jannah. Until I see my place in Jannah. And nobody ever saw him smile. No one ever saw him smile until the day that he died. When they buried him, they looked at his face and he was smiling. And why? Because you die the way you lived. And he lived a life of piety. Another person, Sheikh Islam al-Haq, a more recent person, 1996 he passed away. He was a teacher of Bukhari. The most authentic book, they say, after the Quran is Sahih al-Bukhari. And he used to teach that. And how did he die? He died in the month of Ramadan, on the 27th night, at the time of the Hajjut, on Friday, in Sajda, and in Medina. So blessed, such a blessed death he had. Why? He had three qualities that people told about after he passed away. One was that he wasn't a hafiz, but every week he would finish the Quran. Every single week, he didn't let that go. Then he wouldn't waste his time in futile things that didn't benefit. And the third thing was that he wouldn't backbite anybody. So he lived a life of piety. You die the way that you're going to live. And if you're an evil person, same thing. Like we can take an example of Abu Lahab. And what did he do? He was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what did he do? He was a very strict enemy of Islam. And he went against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the beginning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such a disease that his own family isolated him and they didn't want to meet him. And they put him there, and then he died and his body was rotting. And then the people started blaming their family and saying, look what kind of family is. They're not even burying their father. So they had to pay slaves to take his body and wash him from afar and then push him with sticks and throw him in the ground. That's the type of death he had because he was an evil person. So you die the way that you live. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand that death can come to us at any moment. It's not that we're going to live forever or live longer, or we're going to live past 50, 60. It doesn't matter. Any time can come to you, and that's going to be your 100% of your life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us realize this before it's too late, and enable us to act upon and live a righteous life so that we can die a righteous death. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ